Alright, we have Masechet Bechorot, Daf Nun Vav. And we're going to start at the Mishnah at the bottom of Nun Hamud Bet. This is a re-recorded shiur. Unfortunately, the shiur this morning was wiped out. My lack of technical skills. So it was a good shiur, but now we'll see. Hope it all goes well. So now we're starting the Mishnah. The new Mishnah says like this: Matnitin Halakoach. So either a person who bought or received a gift is patur mimaser behema. Okay, we already saw this yesterday. Patur mimaser behema. The Gemara says, we know that from Amar Kahana Damar Kra. The pasuk says, Bechor titain li. Okay, so let's just look at the pasuk in detail over here. So over here, Meleatcha v'dimacha lo ta'acher. Bechor banecha. You're talking about the Bechor of people and animals. Bechor banecha titain li. So that's the animal, the human beings is the beginning of the pasuk. It says so too with your shor and your tzon. Shivat yamim yemi mo, it should be with the mother for 7 days. Bayom hashmini titnu li, and on the 8th day you hand out. We know that mechusa zman, a korban can only be sacrificed after 7 days with its mother from the 8th day onwards. Prior to the 8th day, it is called mechusa zman. The pasuk says over there. And now, so we're trying to work out where do we know that if you bought, you got a gift as a korban, you patur from maaseh. The pasuk says ma banecha, right? Just like there with regards to banecha with bechor, ein b'lakoch matana. There's no bechor from what you bought or what you got as a gift. It has to be born to your own animal. Rashi says d'lo shaychet b'lakoch matana. It's not all do. It has to be born to you. Aftzoncha v'karcha, right? So too, your sheep and your cattle, eino b'lakoch v'matana. You don't take from maaser behema if it's bought or given to you as a gift. The Gemara says, v'hai v'bechor kitiv. If you actually look at Rashi, you'll see Rashi's got the wording in there, v'parich, and they ask the question, v'hai b'chor kitiv, but this pasuk is not written with regards to maaser, this pasuk is written with regards to b'chor. Like Rashi says, "Zevat yalafti minay maser." V'od and furthermore, "Bechor kadosh b'lakoch u'matana shrei misha shenolad kadosh." He says, "And with regards to bechor, makes no difference. A bechor is already kadosh when it's born. We don't care if you bought it or you got it as a gift. We don't interested how the animal came to you. If that animal was born a bechor, it's a bechor. If you gave somebody a bechor, it stays a bechor. So what this pasuk got to do is not yet. It's not relevant. The Gemara says, "Amakra." The pasuk says, "Taaseh." Right, look at Rashi. Amakra ta'aseh. Kein ta'aseh l'sholcha. So you should do to your oxen. V'hai v'ale lo matzit mokemet b'chor, says Rashi. And this is definitely can't be speaking about b'chor. D'hami rechem kadosh. V'lo ba'i asiyah shi'avishen ha'ish. And there's nothing for you to do to make a b'chor kadosh. See if the pasuk is speaking over here about b'chor. We're not speaking about b'chor. It says, v'lo chavadim ha'cha lo ta'acher. B'chor b'lecha titen li. And it says, kein ta'aseh l'sholcha. So you should do to your shor. So we're saying, it's pasha that pasuk is not speaking about b'chor over here. Because there's nothing for you to do with the Bechor. The right of Asay. It says, there's no Asiya. Demirechem Kadosh is a Gemara. Back in the Gemara. Rechem Kadosh. So therefore, if the Pasuk is so blatantly, clearly not speaking about Bechor, Tenehu Inya Lemaser Behem. Let's learn it. The Halacha must be speaking about Maser Behem. At the very beginning of this parak, in the introduction, I said, Maser Behem, Bechor, and Korban Pesach, all a package deal. The dam is the same. The matanot, the giving of the blood. The Eishlamim. A kotcha kalim, and that was the explanation we gave of why Maaser Behema was bichlal in this parak, in this masechet. Right in Rashi at the beginning, they said that we should have included Korban Pesach here because there's so many dinim of Korban Pesach it fits into the masechet of Psachim because there's such a lot of Psachim, so we put Korban Pesach there. But really, we could have Korban Pesach here as well. So therefore, we're saying that it's obvious the pasuk must be speaking about Maaser because it's not shayach at all to Bechor. The Gemara says, okay, but maybe it's not so pasha that it's for Maaser. Maybe the Torah is coming to tell us that Chatat and Asham, Rashi says there, the second narrow lines of Rashi, maybe that's telling you can't bring Chatat and Asham from animals that aren't born to you. If you bought an animal or you got it as a gift, that would do a lot of damage to the animal business, animal trade before the Yamim, all the Regalim, right? Because they were all the guys sitting in Jerusalem, sitting the animals. If you could have been Chatat V'Asham from a bought animal, they'd be in trouble. So it says, no, can't be relevant to that. Why? Because Tumi de Banecha. We're looking for something we're similar to Banecha. מה בניך שאינו בעל חטא, אף צונך ושורך שאינו בעל חטא. הבכור, this pasuk is pshat, he's talking about בכור. So therefore, if we're going to learn, and yet we know that תעשה can't be talking about בכור. תעשה. So it must be some other animal, but it has to be in some way related to בכור. He says, yeah, בכור has got nothing to do with a chet. You don't bring a korban בכור because of chet. So it can't be talking about a chatan and asham because they come because of a chet. So it can't be relevant. It can't be speaking about that. Okay, maybe tenehu inyan le'ola or le'shlamim. Maybe it's regards to ola and shlamim. Remember, shlamim is fits in. Maybe ola and shlamim. Talking about a gershom over here. Right in line with the last lines of Rashi. About a gershom, it says, de'aymer tenehu inyan le'ola or le'shlamim. De'itnu ba'asiya ve'einan ba'in al-chet. Because with regards to a shlamim and ola, you appointed an ola and a shlamim. It's not like a bechor, which born. You make it into ola and shlamim. You make it kadosh. And it doesn't come because of a chet. Or it says, no, it still doesn't work. Why? Do you mean banecha? We want banecha. Ma banecha she'enu ba menir v'nedava. Av tzoncha v'shorcha not nir v'nedava. Ola or a shlamim. You decide either you're making a gift to the Beit Midrash in the Dava or a Nedu. You made a vow and now you're coming to honor your vow. That can't be because we want it similar to Bincha, to Bechor. And Bechor is independent completely of vows. So therefore, it can't work with Bechor either. Because, okay, V'eimer Tenehu Inyan L'Olatria. Maybe Olatria, that's the mitzvah on the Chag, Tegurin Chagiga, right, that you got to come to the Beit Midrash L'Ra'ot, to be seen in the Beit Midrash. You can't come B'Yadayim Reikot with empty hands. You got to bring a Korban Re'ia. When you go to the regal, you bring a korban re'iyah that you see in front of the Kodesh Baruch Hu coming with something. Maybe that's what it's about. That korban re'iyah can't be from something bought. Rashi says, "V'amel od re'iyah, she chova v'lo achet." It's a chova, lack b'chor. It's nothing to do with the chet. You can let Rashi there continue. Rashi says, "B'chor ein zman kavu l'kedushato ela keshnor kavush." He says that with regard to b'chor, what's special about a b'chor? There's no time frame. B'chor can be bought any time of the year, and it's a b'chor. So he says, that's the answer over here. We said, can't be, why not Olatria? Olatria is specific to the regalim. We want to do Mida Bincha. Ma Bincha she'ein kavua lozman. Bechor is not kavua zman. It's not a particular time of the year. Af shorcha v'tzoncha. The pasuk speaking about shorcha v'tzoncha must be related to a korban, which is she'ein kavua lozman. Okay, so it seems pretty clear that all that's left over here really is Masi. So the Gemara says, ima bincha eino belakoach klal. A bechor doesn't come from a deal at all. It was, if I buy an animal, I don't buy an animal and make it into a bechor. Af shorcha v'tzoncha eino belakoach klal. Right? Then it appears, if we want to say that there's some sort of limud here from bechor to in this pasuk, it says that if that's the case, alama Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Yochanan, lakach hashra ubari b'me'a iman, he bought 10 fetuses, right? Well, fetuses, that's a better word, embryo. Like in the animals, in the animal's stomach. But Maya Iman. Kulam nichasin adilit aser. If we're just saying over here that's like Bechor, and Bechor we don't buy Bechor, then, and we're saying that Maser is, we've basically knocked out all the options of Ola, Veshlamim, Vechatat, and Asham, and Olatria, we left with Maser. And we're saying that it should be like a Bechor. How come Rabbi Asid and Rabbi Yochanan that you bought these 10 embryos? We'll see in a second, not really only embryos, we'll see in a moment. When we're talking about an animal with maya imo in its mother's womb, it's any animal that's got mechusa zman. So it's either in the mother's womb or in the first 7 days. In any period when it can't be korban. You can look right now. The very last lines of Tosfot at the bottom of the Amud says, Lakach asra ubrim maya iman. It says, Lav dafka. Not only that in the maya iman. The haha din, it's the same din he says over here. Right? Noldu. If you look at the Shittim Akubetzi, the Velam Gimel, one of the last Shittim Akubetzi on the Amud, it says, Noldu Kolzman. Not Noldu Kaivan. Noldu Kolzman, the Have Mechusa Zman. I'm back in the very last line of Tosfot. Or any time while it's Mechusa Zman. Right? Inami Naka B'may Iman. There we, that basically, when we say my iman, it's a code term for any time the animal before was born or born within the first 7 days. So our kasha over here is, if we're saying now, we've established that maser behema is like bechor. Bechor, you can't buy. So why did Rabbi Yochanan tell us over here that if you bought these 10 embryos or 10 animals before they were ready for korban, you've got to put them into your pen and do maser with them. All right? Vaha, he says, I lost my place here. So Rava says no. Why? Because the pasuk says ta'aseh. What ta'aseh mean? B'sha'at asiyah mi'ayta katuf. The Torah only, when we said in our Mishnah, we thought our Mishnah said that never, if you ever buy an animal or if you ever get a gift, you never chayv in maser. Suddenly we're seeing no. It's limited. When aren't you chayv in maser? If you bought it after the mechusas man pina, it was no longer mechusas man from the 8th day and onwards, when you could have brought it as a korban. But if you bought it before it could have been brought as a korban, then you would have to put it into your pen and do maser. Look at Rashi b'shat asiyah. Only when you actually could have set it aside, right? And that's only after they did, because you've got to put it aside and make it into a korban. But he says, yeah, those are shloye lukhin. Love shat asiyah. When it's in the mother's womb, or those first 7 days, not called shat asiyah. So during that shat asiyah, it would be chay. Prior to that shat asiyah, it would be chayiv. Gwena takes out this little bright and discusses it on its own. Gufa. If you bought the 10, they're all going to go do maser with them. Whereas it says, we learned in our Mishnah that you patu. I'm Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar, right, seems to be the one here who gave the answer which we just gave, which is where it said, Amarav Amar Kra. So either he got it from Rabbi Lazar, or it's the same answer. Right, and he says there, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yochanan Chaza, or Rabbi Lazar maybe had been asked that question about Midrash and gave that same answer of Rav's, because he says, I'm Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yochanan Chaza Bechilma. Rabbi Yochanan appeared to me in a dream last night, and therefore his conclusion was Miltim Aliyah Amina. I must have said something fantastic. Look at Rashi over there, Miltim Aliyah Amina. No, Rabbi Yochanan Chaza Bechilma. Halayla Nirali Rabbi Yochanan Mechalo. I saw him in a dream. Behoil v'nireli, and since I saw him, yodaya ani bi, I know him myself, she'omer hayom davar tam, that I said something with time, with reason. So he's very happy with his answer there about b'shat asiya. And Amar Kra, the pasuk says, ta'aseh. This is what Rabbi Lazar is now saying. The pasuk says, ta'aseh, b'shat asiya mi'ay takatuv. You're only exempt, right, if it's from the shat asiya, which from the moment that you can't actually be the animals of korban, which is from the 8th day and onwards. And the Gemara is a kashya, Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim to Rabbi Lazar. He quotes him a brighter or a Mishnah. He says, "Hey, Tiva, I'm going to quote your Mishnah, Rabbi Lazar. What happened to your answer?" Because Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim says, "Lokayach al mechusazman." You're telling me that lokayach, right? The din of lokayach, which says that you patur, right? You're telling me that the din of lokayach you patur only after 8 days. And therefore, if you took it during the first 7 days, you would be chayiv. Look at Rashi. If you took it prior to the 8 days, the first 7 days of his birth, shuv eino nichlas edit aser. You don't put it into the deer. And you told me you do. How much more so if you took it as a big animal? V'ha mechusazman delo shat asiya. He says, and look here, according to this Mishnah, where Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim quoted a Mishnah that said, in inverted commas, halakoach chal al mechusas ban. In other words, lakoach, this petor, exemption of when you bought something, applies even during those first 7 days. And you said to me that it doesn't. So Rashi ends with the question, Lord Shalas Yahi, v'chay la'din lakoach. And if we see the din of lakoach, the exemption of lakoach applies. So how can you tell me that you are chayiv in those first 7 days? We've got a Mishnah or a Braita and some Tanaic source that clearly says you patur. So look at this. Amalei. So Rabbi Lazar says to Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim, zo eino Mishnah. This is not a Mishnah. I don't know where you got that from, but it's not a Mishnah. And I've got to tell the story I told this morning in the shiur. When I was learning in Shiva over 30 years ago at the Gush, Daddy Blackman and I was there. Used to be two guys in the Shiva who were like, much the Urim v'Tumim in the Beit Midrash. It was Yaakov Frankus and Dov Linzer. And they used to learn together. And one day we had a problem, a question, and we walked over to them at their table. And we said, listen, we explained our question. So I won't say which who said who, it's not important. But so the one guy said, yeah, this is the answer, and he quoted a pasuk. He said, the pasuk says so and so and so and so. So the other one looked at him without even flinching and said, no such pasuk. Now, I don't know who's going to be clever. The one guy who thought that he knew a pasuk didn't exist in the Torah, but the other guy just said there's no such pasuk. I think he knew straight away. Same thing over here, Lahavdil, right? Or maybe not Lahavdil. Rabbi Shimon Eliakim said he has a Mishnah. Rabbi Lazar said to him straight away, Zoe no Mishnah. So now, and Rabbi Elazar says to him, however, ve'im timtzulomer, he says, I understand where your confusion comes from. Maybe you want to say that there is such a Mishnah. But if you're going to tell me there's a Mishnah that discusses the subject, it's exactly opposite to what you said. He says, ve'im timtzulomer mishlo gerashi. Ve'im timtzulomer mishnah vada Rabbi Shimon. That Mishnah is obviously Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. Gemara says, ve'im timtzulomer mishnah, and it's Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. Rashi adds the word vadai. Right? The ledidei, as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, mechus hazman, in the first, is shat asiyahu. Right? He calls mechus hazman shat asiyah. Umishum haki lakoach alav. When you said to me that he said, what was the answer to you? He said, Rabbi Yochanan, he said, Rabbi Shimon ben Liakin, Rabbi Halokeach chala mechus hazman. He said, lokeach chala mechus hazman. He says, it's not that lokeach chala mechus hazman. In other words, you originally said to me, Rabbi Liakim, right? You said to me that mechus hazman, you thought that we agreed that mechus hazman wasn't shat asiyah. I couldn't bring the korban during those 7 days, but nonetheless, I was still chayiv. He says, no. Rabbi Shimon tells me that mechus hazman is shat asiyah. And that's why he tells me that the din of lakoach would apply then in Yupatur. Because as long as asiyah, remember, our pasuk said, ta'aseh. Umihu b'ma imo modeh de'ein lakoach alav. Even he agrees, Rabbi Shimon bar Yehuda agrees that when it's actually in the animal's womb, it definitely wouldn't be. But in those 7 days, he would say that it is. That's how he answers him, right? Look at Rashi in the back of the Gemara. Shimon d'amar b'chus hazman nichnas ledilet aser. Right, and how can it be? How can we say that? At the end of the day, it's not ready for a korban. He says, no, it's like a bechor. What's a bechor? Ma bechor kadosh lifnei zmano v'karev lachar zmano. A bechor at the end of the day is also kadosh from the moment it's born. That's peterechem. The moment it leaves the womb, it's kadosh. And yet, you can't bring it as a korban in the first 8 days. He says, so too, af mechus hazman, so too an animal in its first 7 days, kadosh livnei zmano will become kadosh. You can make, call it the 10th one, and make it into a maser, v'karev l'achar zmano, and then you wait for the 8 days, then you bring it onto the mizbeach. So that's really the answer. So we've got basically three opinions at the moment. We've got one opinion, the Mishnah says, anything that you buy or you get as a gift is patur. And we've got a limitation to that Mishnah, which seems to say that if it's b'may imo, if it's the mother's womb, and you bought it or got it as a gift while the mother's womb, or in the first 7 days, you patur. And then we'll come along, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda will say to you, no, if it's in his mother's womb, you patur, but in the first 7 days, you are still chayiv to do mas, even if you got it as a gift or if you bought it. Tani Tana Kamed Rab. Now Tana, you know, someone who taught a bright in front of Rav, and he said like this, Ezehu etnan shenichnas ledilet aser. Strange question, but he says that which is the etnan? An etnan, right, is the animal that you pay a prostitute with. So we've seen it before with Yehuda, for example, in the Torah. Yehuda sent to Tamar. He never knew it was Tamar, but he sent her two goats or two lambs. I don't know, it's like 10 to 2 animals, two lambs, I think. So an etnan is what you pay a prostitute with. That's what you pay with an animal. So the Tana says, like this, friend of Rab, which etnan would you nonetheless put into your dear letaseh? Right, now this is a bit odd because we would have thought firstly that an etnan might be pasul, might be a psul etnan, right? Can you bring it to the mizbeach? Then in a second. As a rule, we always thought, if there was a big chidush coming up over the page, we thought that an etnan was pasul as a korban. We'll see more about that over the next amud. But nonetheless, he says, which etnan would you bring into your pen to do maaseh? He says, kol shenatnula v'chazar v'lakchu hemena. What are we speaking about? Yeah? Talking about a case where a person paid the etnan, gave the prostitute the etnan, and then she had nothing to do with it, so she gave it back to him, and then he's now his, and now the Tana tells us that he does maaser with it. Now what's the problem? V'ha'iv saleh b'lakoach. That's a more straight question, but why would that be? It's pasul from lakoach, it's a deal. He basically paid her with the lamb, and then she gave it back to him. So it was a matana, or she might have given it back to him and he paid her money in exchange. Then he bought it back from her. Whatever the case was, it's either a matana or it's a lakoach, he bought it. And we saw in our Mishnah that it's pasul b'matana. So now, look at Rashi. Lechal nakum memle. Ve'im yesh lo tish'a, v'hu chayavin b'maser. He's got nine, and now this becomes the tenth one. It's chayavin maser. Ve'im yatsa echad min ha'ksheirin b'asiri, haray tov. And Rashi tells us, that if this, one of the other nine, became the tenth one, beautiful. Ve'im yatsa ha'etnan b'asiri, but if, however, this etnan was the tenth one, Yochal b'mumolaban. It's got a mum, still maser. Remember, we saw with maser, there's lo yimirinu ben tovu ben ra. A mum doesn't pasul a maser. We'll see more about that in tomorrow's stuff. Mum doesn't pasul a maser. But nonetheless, it's a maser. But mum, you don't bring it to the mizbeach, eat it on your own. Right, so that's the story. So now, Rav says to him, Ishtamite tehad am Rabbi Asi am Rabbi Yochanan. Now again, I have to say that the way that Pshat seems to be in the Gemara over here, is it appears that the Tana that spoke in front of Rav is talking about an animal that's in its first 7 days, a baby goat, either in its ma'imo, or if it was in its first 7 days. And he gave it to her, and she gave it back to him. Right? So he says, have you forgotten? The guy asked this question, seems to have forgotten, right? Or it's been lost to him, that Rav Asi Amar Rav said, Lakach asra ubar ma'iman, kulan nichasin adili taser. What's the chilush over here? Have you forgotten that anyhow that they all, if you bought an animal while it was with my emo in those first 7 days, it's not a chilush here on the etnan. Anybody, the Gemara says v'te'ashayi, right? So why doesn't she just do maser? What's your chilush over here? What are you trying to tell me? Rav, what are you trying to tell me over here? What's your big chidush over here to tell me that she does it? Right? You're not patur because it's a baby animal. And anyhow, says a Gemara, but to Ashrei, let she do maaseh. Look at Rashi there. Kaven de b'may imo natnula. So we already know that if you get a deal and the animal's within the 7 days or in the fetus, in the womb, or in the first 7 days, that you're going to do maser anyhow. Like Rashi says, kamen b'may imo natnala lo mifsal mishum notain. The notain, the fact that he gave it to her as a gift, b'matana, he says, yeah, or he paid her, have you ever look at it, doesn't pasul it. She should just put it into her pen, do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 9, 10. If it falls on this one, it's a mum, like we saw previously, but nonetheless, it's a maser. V'lameli, says Rashi, v'lameli chaza v'lako. Why do I need you to complicate the story here and tell me that she gave it back to him? Whatever the case was, there's no big chiddush over here. Very learned from Amar Rav Asi Rav Yochanan. And the verse is now, why is the story, why did they give it back to him? Because Bezonit, the Masoret Tashas changes to Bezona Kutit. We're talking about a Zona Kutit who's not a fully fledged Jew, right? And therefore, that Zona Kutit is not Chayavit all in Maaseh. So without telling us, going back, they wouldn't know anything. The verse says, Nu v'lokum Bezona Yisrael, but Yisrael, so then big deal. Give us another brighter. Tell us, okay, so we understand if it's a zona koti, but why complicate matters? Tell us the brighter that a guy who pays a zona with an etna, she's only Israelite, she must do maser, and we'll know from there, why must she do maser? Because she got it when it was still mechusazman in the first 7 days, and therefore, lokayach mechusazman isn't a case of patrum in maser, she's chayav in maser, and everybody's happy. So Gemara says, now, hakamash melan, what's the big chidush here? The big chidush here really is the zona yisraelit lo have etnan. That's the big chidush here. Look at Rashi. Hakahach brighter the high etnan. Right? The lo bar asuri the zona kutit the mikra etnan. If it was a zona kutit, right, then it wouldn't work because as a zona kutit it would be an etnan. But I have a zona yisraelit. The zona yisraelit lo mikri etnan. It's not called an etnan. Look, here comes a bombshell from Rashi. Va'afilu lemizbeach shar. You can even bring this onto the mizbeach. Forget about mum and having to eat it as a mum like we thought up until now. No, that's the chiddush of the bride. The bride telling us that you gave it to this yisraelit, right? She gives it back to you, and if she gives it back to you, or she keeps it herself, a yisraelit. There's no issue here of etnan. It's not etnan at all. It's only an etnan when it was a zona of a kutit. And that's why we had a zona of a kutit, because that's where it called an etnan. And that's where the din of the mum. And it couldn't be with her because she's patur from mitzvahs. So she had to give it back to you. And now we learn over here that the etnan comes back to you. You still do maser And if it falls on that particular one, then it's a mum, eat all the mum. But a Yisraelit, not an Etnan. We wouldn't have learned anything about Etnan out of that. And he says, like a Dabaye, 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 this is from Abaye, Dabaye, Zone Kutit, Etnan Asur. Now, we see here the two sides of the same coin here. We're going to see in a second. The Zona, if she's if the animal that you pay her is called an Etnan, then there are other implications. And if the animal you give her is not called an Etnan, then there are other implications with regards to a coin. We'll see in a second. What does Abaye say? Abaye says, Zona Kutit, if she's a Kutit prostitute, then Etnan Asur, you paid her with an Etnan, with this animal, right? Then the Etnana is Asur. Asur over here means not Asur to do Maaseh, because we've already learnt that Asur you do Maaseh with, like Rashi explained previously, and on this Amud over here, you would do Maaseh with it, and if it became, if you landed on it, and that was the Asiri, so then you'd eat it b'mum, you would have been from Mizbeach. So it says here, Asur meaning that you don't bring it to the Beit HaMikdash, right? You don't bring it as a Mizbeach, but you still do Maaseh with it. And the Kohen, Abaleh, and a Kohen had relations with this Zona Kutit, right? Eino loke mishum lo yechad al zaro. He doesn't get malkot. So the zona kutit, the animal that you pay her, is called an etna, etnana. And it's a mum if you use it as a maser. But a kohen has relations with this zona kutit, doesn't get malkot mishum lo yechad al zaro. If he has a child, and that child comes out of him, so the child, a kohen, is a child, a woman who is not allowed to marry, where there's no kiddushin tofsi, we'll say in a second, where kiddushin doesn't work, we can't marry her. The child's a halal, not a kohen, he's a halal. The father's a kohen, he's a halal. And if he is over on lo yechalel zaro, on that mitzvah lo tasei, so he gets malkot. If he has a child with a kutit, so he isn't, doesn't get malkot, we'll see that in a second. However, if it was a zona yisraelit, if it was a zona yisraelit, so etnan mutar, so now over here, there's no problem. Right, her etnan, as Rashi said, is mutar completely, and you're going to bring it to Mizbeach. Rashi said there. Remember, Rashi said in the very first narrow lines, va'afilu lemizbeach shari. However, kohen abaleh. Now, if he has a kohen has relations with her, and he has a child, so then lokeach mishum lo yechalel zaro. A kohen can't have children with a prostitute, right? And they can't have relations with a prostitute. And therefore, if he can't marry a prostitute, the kedushin doesn't tofsi. So therefore, he will be mechalel zaro. And the Gemara explains: zona kutit etnan asur, wazer etnan asur. Gamar toiva toiva miarai. We've got a gzeres shava of toiva toiva. Toiva features in two psukim. Look at the psukim. The first pasuk of here says: ki kol asher yaseh mikol ha-toevot ha'el, any of his abominations, v'nichretu ha-nevashot ha-osot mikrev ha-mam. And then in the next passage we got the lotavi et, and that's talking about the kohen. Then lotavi et nazona mechir kalev beit hashem lokecha. The whole neder, don't bring your this etnan, the animal you paid a prostitute for, or a mechir kalev, that's if you bought a dog with it, you did an exchange of a dog and an animal to the temple. The whole neder ki toivat hashem lokecha gam shnehem. These are all toivas. So we see toiva toiva from arayot to korbanot. Look at Rashi over here. Ba'arad, there's no Dibra Matchil. The very first narrow lines of Rashi says, Ba'arayot kativ mikot v'lalelu, ubetnan kativ ki tovat Hashem. Now, ma'arayot lo tafsebei kiddushay, when it comes to Yisrael arayot, you can't have kiddush. If you say, kuvin arayot mekudeshet li betabat zu kudom Hashem Yisrael, and two alim say mekudeshet, you are not mekudeshet. The kiddushin doesn't tofes. Right? So if you have arayot, the lo tafsebei kiddushay, avzona, bahach the lo tafsebei kiddushay. Right, so he says, "Ach avzona b'ach." To say, "Toivat tovama arayot lo tafse." This woman is like a toy, like a case of whether kedushin doesn't tofes. But kohen abaleya, and a woman who, and a kohen is like a woman who he couldn't have married her in the first place. Ein loke mishum lo yechalel zaro. The lo yechalel zaro amar rachmana. Right, the Torah says, "Lo yechalel zaro yo zaro." V'hai lav zarehi, and this woman, Avi Rashi, lav zaro hu to have vlad holech acharakutit when it's a goy. So the child, her child, a parak beta bibamot, bincha haba mi Yisraelit, his son that came from a Jewish woman, karui bincha, is called his son. Ve'ein bincha haba min akutit, karui bincha. It's not called his son, ele bina, it's her son. So there was no mechalel zaro, because not his zaro, it's her zera, and therefore he would be patur. Okay, so that's the end of that sugya. Mishnah starts a new, the one starts, comes a new Mishnah, achim, והשותפים שחיים בקלבוניה. There's a change of yet the girsa. First the Bach and the Shulam Kubetzit say not ha'achin v'ha'shutafim, the brothers and partners, but ha'achin ha'shutafim. Or ha'achim, right, the Bach says ha'achin ha'shutafim. He says that the brothers who are partners. And the Shulam is a slightly different version, but the same idea. He says ha'shutafim, ha'achin ha'shutafim. Okay, so keshechavim. Yeah, he changes as well. Ha'achin ha'shutafim. When they are chayvin a kilabon, they are pat v'maser b'hema. So what's a kilabon? We've seen this before a few times. When you come to the Middash, you've got to bring a machzit ha-shekel. When you bring a machzit ha-shekel, each person brings their own machzit ha-shekel. If you come together, two people, as a shekel, so you've got to add a small amount. It's a ma'a, a kilabon. I think we'll see the Rashi will say it's a ma'a. It's like a half a gera, we learned the other day. A very small amount of money, which basically takes into account the conversion charges or of the fact that the baitin, that you aren't bringing too much to the shekel. I'm not sure what the kilabon is for, but basically it's a slight tax or a penalty, so to speak, on not bringing each of you own much to the shekel. So now the Mishnah says, Achin hashutafim, who are partners, shechayvin bekilabon. If they chayv in a kilabon, right, then they're proper partners. In other words, they're not coming as brothers who are bringing the estate of their father, but they're bringing their own partnership. Even though they're brothers, they're proper partners. And that's why they shouldn't have brought one shekel, because they should have each brought half a shekel. But they brought it together, therefore they get this extra penalty to bring a kilabon, which proves that they're real partners. So in such a case, turin mi maser behema. They would be patra maser behema. Why patra maser behema? Look at Rashi. What are we talking about? A case where they've already inherited the assets of their father and they've split them up. And they decided to stay in business together, but they split the assets. You know, let's pull out and become partners. We work together. They bring one coin, instead of each one bringing their own. They each bring a ma'a, small coin. Each one of them is a kilabon. Because they're basically like two people bringing their money. Each one on their own, like anybody else. If you bring a shekel, you're bring a kilabon. Right? Vahahu kilabon le'echra. Okay, v'yeshu le'chiluf. Okay, there's a second, right? Another Rashi doesn't matter. Now that is the pact that they are chayv in a kilabon. As a result, they are pactur from Masa. Look at Rashi. Pact Masa Bahima. Kol yamei shut futan. As long as they're partners. Lo'olam forever. Ketan v'brayta. B'gemara. Yelach v'lo shel shutfut. The Torah tells us that who brings a Maser? Maser is for you. Only you as an individual. If you partners, you are pactur from Masa. Full stop. As opposed to a Bechor. We never saw any exemption. I'll go on to discuss in a second. We never saw an exemption. What we did see where the Bechor was, you could sell an ear either to the Bechor, of the Bechor or of the mother. We had a bit of discussion about that the other day. To a Goy. And if a Goy was a partner with you, parted from Bechor. But if you and another Jew are partners, you're still chayv in Bechor. As opposed to Maser Chidush, Maser is only Maser if it's fully yours and not important to be else. So if you're partners, you chayv in kilabon, and as a result of your partnership, you patra maser behema. On the other hand, if you p'tur min kilabon, if these two brothers come to Beit HaMikdash and they brought a shekel on behalf of the two of them, and they were patra from kilabon, why would they be patra from kilabon? Look right down Rashi at the bottom, yeah? P'tur min kilabon, im notnin bain shneim sel shalei. They haven't yet split up the ass of their father. And really they're bringing them the shekel on behalf of their father's estate. So now they are patrim kilabon, because there aren't two people bringing a shekel together. It's just one estate bringing the shekel. They don't bring a kilabon. Because if the father had come and brought one seller for his two children, wouldn't have to bring a kilabon. Because that's what people do. It's acceptable that a father comes, brings for his family, doesn't bring a half a shekel each one, he brings a shekel for his two sons. So that's acceptable. When two strangers get together and decide to try and save a bit of money, I don't know, maybe it was cheaper or easier to take a shekel, they're going to bring a kilabon. So when two brothers become partners, they're like two strangers, but if it's in their father's estate still, so and their father would have brought a four, he would be patrim kilabon, they also are patrim kilabon, right? So there, they if turim in a kilabon, right? Turim in a masa behema, chayavim in a masa behema, primina kinabon. And with the echayv in maaser behaima, because it's one estate, so it's the father's estate, and they aren't partners, so therefore there isn't a partnership here, it's one estate. And that estate is chayv in maaser, so there there would be chayv in maaser patrim kinabon. So they're two sides of the same coin. On the other hand, new example, kanu mitfisat habayit. If they bought from, the tfisat habayit means like the household. Now what Rashi explains over here is kanu is not that they didn't actually buy. Look at Rashi down the bottom here. It's about 10 lines up before it gets wide lines. Kanu b'tzad abayit chayavin. Right? They're chayavin in maser. Why are they chayavin in maser? But maser b'hema. Can you remember Gemara? B'hai kanu, says Rashi, lo lakchu b'ma. They didn't buy it with money. Ela kanu, what does it mean? Kanu means shnafru lahem b'hemot mi'abihem. They had in the estate. They still managing the whole estate. And animals were born into the estate. So the estate got greater and bigger than more animals. In the cases like that, they chayav in maaser, because it's still as if it's one person, not partnership. Ve'im lav, right? Im lav p'turim. What does it mean if not they are patur? Right? See, the Mishnah explains, chalku v'chazru nishtatfu. If they separated their assets, they inherited the stuff, and they split up the assets. And then they became partners again, chayavin b'kilabon, they patur, they chayav in kilabon. That's the very first case we spoke about. When will they be patur? When they, from maaser, because they're partners, they're chayvin kilabon, because they shouldn't have brought the money independently. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Basically, just remember, we've got two sides of the same coin here. We've got either patur maaser, chayv kilabon, or chayv kilabon, patur maaser. They go together. If we fully fledged partners, we're chayvin kilabon, and we patur maaser. If we aren't partners, we represent the one family household, we are chayv in maaser and we patur from the kilabon. That is really okay. The word is like a tarot, bigger brighter. The pasuk says yihye lach pasuk. The fourth pasuk here on the daf issue, the whole pasuk says ko peterechem lechol basar. So we're talking now again about bechor, right? Lechol basar sheyakibul Hashem. But other animals or human beings yihye lach. It belongs to you, based on Hashem. Right? But what do you do over here? You redeem the person. And if it's a bechor behema, which is like it was the donkey, so that you redeem as well. But other things you bring as a korban. The Gemara says, Yelach, this is the makor the Gemara wants to learn for velo shel shutfut. The Gemara is answering a question. How do we know that shutafim don't bring maaser behema, partners, because it says yelach. That's the Gemara says yafilu, but don't forget we haven't yet asked the question about where the pasuk is. I mentioned the pasuk in Bechor. The Gemara is assuming this pasuk is clearly speaking about maaser. How do you know? Because the losher shutfut. The Gemara says yachol afilu kanu b'tfas abayit, even if, like we explained, it was in the household there were more animals that were born. It was not just the original partnership. But even if kanu b'tfisat habayit, or we chayev, or the Gemara says Talmud lomar yihye mikol makom. Wherever the case was, if they're partners, you patur. If they aren't partners, then you chayev. Even if it is in a family estate which are continuously being born, you would be patur. If you were partners and they were being born one to each other, you'd be chayev. Other way around, sorry. If it was partners, you'd be chayev. You'd be patur. And if it was in the family estate, you'd be chayev. Irrespective of where they come from. The Gemara says, but wait a second, we suddenly realized this pasuk is not from Maaser, it's from Bechor. So Gemara says, now, same idea to what we spoke about earlier. In the previous Amud, if you remember, we said, we brought a pasuk also from Bechor, and we said, it can't be speaking about Bechor because it said, you've got to do something before you don't do anything. And we said, maybe it's Ola, maybe Shlami, maybe Chatat, maybe Asham, maybe Olatriya. We concluded in the end, it has to be speaking about Maaser. The Gemara goes through the same process over here. But so the Gemara says, if it doesn't relate to Bechor, Taha Itay B'Shutfut, because you know, Bechor does apply to Shutfut. So what does Yelach come in and tell us has to be only yours? There's no limit like this in Bechor. Because the pasuk tells us with regard to Bechorot, right? Look at the next pasuk over there. It says, "Vehevetem shama olotechem v'zivchechem." You will bring there your olot and your zvachim, ve'et masrotechem and your masrot, ve'et trumat yedechem and the truma of your hands, talking to the people in the plural, ve'nidreichem ve'nidvotechem and your nedarim and your nedavot, uvechorot Bekarchem v'tzonchem, and yours in the plural, your bechorot and your bakar. So we see here, bechor is not limited to partnerships. It's not excluded from partnerships. It's not limited to individuals. So it clearly can't be talking about bechorot. So Gemara says, therefore, techu bechor bakar v'tzonchem, tenehu inyan l'mas v'hem. And if we know, again, bechor and mas v'hem are a package deal, can't be speaking about bechor, therefore it must clearly be talking about maser b'hema. Now, let the Gemara accept it, by the way, and that becomes the basis. I'm Rabbi Yirmiah. So now Rabbi Yirmiah says like this. He's going to complicate our lives a little bit. Remember, the Mishnah just said that the Achin and the Shutavim, that they chayv in Kilabon, they patur in Maser. They patur in Kilabon, they chayv in Maser. Rabbi Yirmiah gets a little bit different. It's like this. Pa'amim, shechayvim b'zeh b'zeh. Sometimes partners, right, brothers, who are partners, would be chayv both b'zeh u b'zeh. The very last narrow line of Rashi says b'zeh u b'zeh, but kilabon u maser. Sometimes they'd be chayev in both, in kilabon and in maser. Now we thought that they're two sides of the same coin, that they can't go together, right? Either heads or tails. See, that seems to be that they're both heads or both tails. So he says, pa'amim chayvim shezeh b'zeh. U'pa'amim, and sometimes, shepturin mizeh u mizeh. And sometimes you patur from both of them. Pa'amim shechayvim b'kilabon u'pturin mimaser b'hema. Even sometimes, you'd be chayev in kilabon and patur in maser. That we know. That's our Mishnah said that. That sometimes you chayev in kilabon. Remember, if you are partners, you chayev in kilabon and you be patur maser b'hema. And we know also, upamim shechayevim maser b'hema upturim in a kilabon. And that's like our Mishnah as well. So the first two cases are chidush for us. And the last two cases are chidush for our Mishnah. Upamim shechayevim maser, you chayev in maser, and you part of kibbutz, like we explained, there was, if it was the family unit, you still hadn't split up your father's assets yet, you can't do a mikdash, so you chayev maser, because there's no shut for not a partnership, it's just basically one family holding, and you patur on kilabon, because your father would have brought a coin on behalf of the two of you, he wouldn't have had to pay a kilabon. Now the Gemara explains, chayev bezeh bezeh, when are you chayev in both? Shechalku b'ksafim, velo chalku b'behema. You split the assets, you inherit from your father, two brothers inherited, $1 million and 10,000 head of cattle. Right? So what happens? They split up the money. They each transferred to their own bank account of $5 million. Right? But that is the cattle they didn't separate. They're farming the cattle in partnership. So there they would be chayev bezeh. Right? They haven't split the animals. So animals is still a household. So as a household, they're chayv in maser. They're partners as far as money is concerned because they split the money. It's no longer a family household. They're each individuals and they went to the Beit HaMikdash together as partners and brought one shekel as two people. So they bought a givichil kilabon. That would be the case of chayv in both. Pturin mizeh o mizeh. We would be patur in each one. Shechalku b'behema velo chalku b'ksav. Other way around. They split up the animals, but they didn't split the money. The money is still in the family trust account. But the animals, they're each farming on their own. That's why they're patur. Right? Look at Rashi at the bottom, yeah? Chalku b'behema, the second sort of semi-wide lines of Rashi. Chalku b'behema lo chalku b'ksafim. The kulahu, it's a kula over here. What's the kula? They split up the animals. The pturin mizeh o mizeh. What we have thought, we actually have a kula, right? Because they split up the animals, remember? And they never split the money. He says, what do we think? What's going on over here? He says, what do we think? Since they split the animals, let's be machmir with them and say, v'neimer galu adatayu delemiflag b'ksafim nami kaimi v'lichayu b'kilabon. Right? What would we think? We say like this, what is harder to do? Right? Is it harder to farm or harder to look after money? It's harder to farm. So now these guys split up their farming business, which is a hard business. So why wouldn't they split up their money? That's easy to manage. So we think, you know what? They split up their farming. They obviously split up their money, or they're gonna split up their money. If they split up their money, therefore make them a chayv in a kilabon as well. We say no. Chilu b'hema, therefore they're partners. They patur from maser. Velochi, but they never split up their money. Therefore, the money is still the family estate. And therefore, the father wouldn't pay a kilabon. They don't pay a kilabon. Next case. Chayavin be kilabon. ופטורין ממעשר בהימה. Right? This is our Mishnah's type of case. They chayv in a kilabon, when, שחלקו בזה ובזה, they split up the money, right? They split up everything, the money and the animals. So therefore they chayv bekilabon, because they're now part as far as the money is concerned. And they're patra ma'aser behaima because they're part as far as animals are concerned. The next case, chayvim b'maaser behaima upturim min hakilabon. Here they're chayv in maaser, remember they obviously aren't partners. And they're patur in kilabon, because they also aren't partners. What's the case? Shelo chalku lo beze velo beze. The shita adds in the words lo beze velo beze. But they haven't split up anything. The estate is still a fully intact estate. And therefore they're patur in kilabon, because their father had given the money for them, we wouldn't pay the kilabon. And they're chayv in maaser because they aren't partners. So we are for the state. So now the Gemara says like this. Right? The Gemara says, Pshita chalku behema velo chalku beksafi. Right? What was the case that we just mentioned now? Shechayv in maaser behema, shelo chalku. The Gemara says, Pshita, the case where they split up the animals and they didn't split up the money, when they split the animals for the money, that's Pshita. Right? In other words, that is absolutely pashut. How do we explain it? We said that they split up the animals and therefore they partners. So remember, so if they split up the animals and they didn't split up the money, they are partners in the animals and therefore they patur from maaser. They never split the money, so therefore they don't have to bring a kilabon. Gemara says, that's pashut. Why is Rabbi Yirmiyah telling us that as well? Gemara says, no. It's chichele. We needed to learn it. Why? Because kevan dechalku behema, this is what we said earlier on. Kevan dechalku, since they split up the animals, and we said the animals we saw there in Rashi, that's the hard work. So galu datayu did a mifli kamen dechalku bekilabon. It seems that, why would they split up animals? They obviously don't want anything to do with each other, these brothers, because farming, you'd expect them to want to share together. Right? And the fact that they didn't split up the animals, that they split up the animals, shows you that they're separate. They're not the same people. Therefore, let's be machmir and say, ah, you're trying to get out of the kilabon by pretending that you aren't splitting up the money. The money is also considered split up and make them chayv in the kilabon. The Gemara says, kamash malan. Therefore, kamash malan over there, that we don't do that. Now, if you look at Rashi, it goes there, tzalkadata chamina. Right? If you look at the second line there, it's the third wide line of Rashi, second wide line. Tzalkadata chamina. Kevan dechagu behemme, nezi lechum, like we read already. V'neime galalat edemi flag b'anim, because it says, look, basically we don't say that. There's a nasha ben a gershom here, which goes in a lot of length. I think we understood it, and that's why we had to learn. Now the Gemara says, Sagan kevan dechagu behemme, galalat edemi flag b'anim, dechagu kebashlana. I'm Rabbi Anan. Rabbi Anan says as follows. He wants to limit this whole case a little bit. He says, lo shanu. Right, look at Rashi there. The very last semi-wide lines. Lo shanu dahavia shutfut li pater mi maser behema ki chan shtatfu. Ela shechalku b'shuma. He says, when do we say that it's a partnership if they split up and they rejoined, which would then be patur from maser? If they separated, when they did the separation, b'shuma with a shamai, with an appraiser. In other words, there was a clear evaluation of the splitting up. See that? They took their goats and their rams, and they split up rams and goats. I take so many goats, you take so many rams. In other words, we put a value. We didn't just do a straight fit. My father left us 1,000 of cattle, 500 goats, 500 sheep. I take 250 goats, 250 sheep, 250 goats, 250 sheep. We take half of whatever there was. No. We start bartering one against the other, and we're trying to get to valuations. But if they just split up and they said, I take half the goats, you take half the goats, I take half the rams, you take half the rams. Omer zechalko hamagio mishari shona. We say that's basically as if it was the existing inheritance. And then they wouldn't be partners, because really what they're doing, they never really split up anything. Each son got what they got, and they're acting together. Rav Nachman says, no. Afilu chalko gedim kene gedim, the tashi kene tashi. He says, even if they went with a shuma on a proper appraisal, ein omrim zehu chalko amagyo mishari shona, right? Afilu chalko gadim. Sorry. Even if they split up goats for goats and gadim for gadim without an appraisal, just across the board, 50-50, we still don't say that is their chalko amagyo mishari shona. That's not, we don't care, and they're still proper partners. רבי לזר אמר, רבי לזר זה לא שנה אלא שחלקו תת כנגד יוד ויוד כנגד תת. Rabbi Elazar says, when do we say that partnership is a proper, like a deal, a transaction of partnership splitting? When they split up 9 for 10 or 10 for 9, in other words, they understood that these 9 were worth more than the other 9, therefore I got 10 for your 9. So again, there's a proper valuation. It looks like a hand, an arm's length transaction. But if it was just 9 for 9, 10 for 10, so we say, Omer Zechel Ka Megil Mishah Rishona. Then they say no problem. That is basically like a original split, and there wouldn't be a problem. Case of a partial. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Afilu Chalku Teknik. Rabbi Yochanan says no. Even if they split 9 for 9, Vasara Kenegras or 10 for 10, Ein Omer Zechel Ko Hamagir Mishashna. We still say that that's not the original case. We still don't say that it's just a nice clear split. And we'll see tomorrow what Rabbi Yochanan explains how he says it.